They drove in silence for a while. Anya stared out of the windshield. Suddenly, she twisted in her seat to look out of the rear window. But there were no trucks barreling down on them this time. She hit the window button.
What the hell are you doing?
Anya stuck her head out of the window. It was even more audible now. Anya leaned back into the truck.
What is it, Anya? What's the matter?
Can't you hear it?
Hear what?
Anya peered through the windshield. Far ahead of them, she thought she could make out something dark. It looked as if it was growing.
Oh my God.
What is that?
Godwin's eyes narrowed and he gripped the wheel tighter.
Our turnoff should be coming soon.
Not soon enough. It's gonna be close.
Real close.
Tell me that's not what I think it is.
It is.
It's getting bigger.
Anya looked and saw it was true. Shooting down the ice road at them was a giant fissure of blackness. The ice road was cracking.
How far?
Maybe a mile, I'm not sure.
Yeah, kind of important that we know.
I don't think we'll make it. We're gonna have to get off the ice or we'll risk going through it.
What's the temperature outside? Can we handle the temperature if we have to leave the truck?
Doubt it. We need off this road with the truck.
Anya could see the water sloshing farther ahead as it crept out of the cracks in the ice like some black, viscous blood seeping over the ice itself, dragging smaller chunks under.
Just how good is this truck at four-wheel driving?
I think we're gonna find out.
Do it!
Godwin guided the truck over toward the bank of the ice road, and then Anya felt the tires bite into the frozen tundra and pull them up off the ice. The truck bucked like a wild horse under them as they hit bumps and dips in the landscape.
Hang on! It's gonna be rough!
It looks like it's fine about 100 yards farther on.
We'll have to chance it. If we stay on this stuff, we'll blow out the tires and do worse to the engine.
Anya would have preferred to take her chances with the ground, but she could see Godwin's point. The truck was taking a beating. They had to get back onto the ice. Anya looked at Godwin.
We lost a tire. Maybe two.
The ice looks fine up there. Try going back now, Godwin. We can't take this anymore.
Well beyond where the fissure had forced them off the road, the ice looked as solid as it had before.
This is turning out to be some kind of trip.
I need to check us out for damage.
Godwin slid out and Anya joined him. Derek unfolded himself from the back seat and followed them around to the back of the truck. Godwin squatted by the right rear tire.
Tire shredded. Doesn't look like the rim is bent, fortunately. It should take the spare from the back, okay?
Godwin opened the tailgate and rooted around in the back.
How long till we can get going again?
Maybe 20 minutes.
He heaved out the replacement tire.
Good. We've got a schedule to keep.
Godwin rolled the tire over and turned back to Anya.
Can you get the jack and tools from the back?
Anya fetched the jack and the tool bag and then left Godwin alone. She would have liked to get back in the truck, but figured it wasn't a good idea when the truck was up on a jack. She had to settle for walking around to keep warm. Derek came up next to her and put his hand over his brow, studying the horizon.
I think our turnoff should be only a mile farther on.
So close we could almost walk. Except if we did that, we'd die from exposure, huh?
Yeah, goes without saying. We need the truck.
Anya walked farther up the ice road, studying the ice underneath her feet. It seemed so weird to be standing in the middle of a huge river like the Mackenzie. She could see deep cracks and fissures in the ice, and yet none of them looked as ferocious as the one that had forced them off the road.
What could have caused it? The rig from earlier? And if it was, how did it manage to send a fissure rocketing at us like that?
Maybe it was the wave that built up under the ice, like the man at the inn had explained to her. Puzzled, Anya turned and headed back toward the truck.
If getting there is half the fun, I must be having the time of my life.
As Anya approached the SUV, she noticed that the damaged tire was still in place. Godwin dropped the lug wrench and stood up.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. It's just been a while since I tried torquing bolts off in the frigid tundra, that's all.
Let me help.
You?
You want to make sexist comments or do you want help? Your choice.
Godwin held up his hands and stepped back.
Hey, be my guest.
Anya walked over to the wheel with the shredded tire and picked up the lug wrench. She clamped it over the closest bolt and then twisted. Godwin was right. The bolt was frozen solid in place on the wheel. He joined her, and together they were able to loosen the bolt. They worked quickly and removed the remaining bolts from the tire. Then Anya stepped back and let Godwin jack up the truck. Derek was still looking at the horizon. Anya approached him.
You all right?
Thought I heard something.
What now?
I don't know. Just thought it sounded vaguely familiar.
In a good way or a bad way?
Derek turned and walked back to the SUV.
Maybe I'm imagining it. I don't know.
Anya watched him go. She smiled. The trip was getting to Derek as much as it was her. Godwin, in spite of two potentially fatal situations in the space of an hour or so, seemed to be taking everything in stride. But maybe that was just his nature. She wondered if his father had something to do with it.
Maybe I'll ask him later.
Got the tire mounted. Another 5 minutes, we'll be on our way again.
Anya smiled. The sooner they got off the ice road and back onto dry land, the happier she'd be. Their brief respite on the shore had shown her how impossible it would be to travel over land unless there was a road. She started to walk back to the SUV. And then she stopped. She turned around and stared off down the ice road. A black speck was coming at her.
Guys, I think we're gonna have some more company.
Oh, God. I was right.
Hope you're not.
Derek rushed to assist Godwin.
Better hurry up with that tire. We're going to need to be mobile pretty damn soon.
If the bolts aren't tightened down, the wheel will come off and we'll crash.
Anya stared at the black speck. It was getting larger, much larger. She could already tell it was the same giant rig that had nearly run them over before. She doubted very much that it would let them survive this time.
How long?
4 minutes.
We need some time. Can you do something?
You're kidding, right?
Something in Derek's eyes told her he wasn't kidding. Not one bit. She frowned.
Just how much does he know about me?
Anya watched the giant rig barrel toward them. It looked as if it had spotted them, and seeing them at a complete stop, its front end had zeroed in on their location. It was locked in and nothing could stop it. Anya walked away from the SUV. She needed some distance from Godwin and Derek if she was going to pull this off without letting everyone know her biggest secret of all. The giant truck surged closer. Anya could see it looming in front of her. She felt a measure of calm come over her. She ran away from the SUV, gathering her speed. She could feel the energy from the sword and her connection to it flooding into her body. Her muscles felt as if they had been shocked, as if a huge current of electricity had touched her. The truck continued to bear down on her. She could see its tires and the dented red front fender.
I'll just have one chance to get this right.
She ran harder, feeling the icy cold bite into her lungs and her face. And yet somehow, the cold temperature fell away, replaced by the sensation of heat spreading all over her body. As Anya raced toward the speeding truck, she closed her eyes and saw the sword in her mind's eye. She reached into the otherwhere for it, felt her hands close around the hilt. She flipped it over quickly, aiming the tip down below her. She could feel her heart thundering inside her chest. The sword's energy coursed through her entire body, mind, and spirit. She briefly hoped that her action would go unnoticed by Derek and Godwin. Perhaps they wouldn't be able to see the sword. Anya drove the tip of her sword into the thick ice beneath her, driving the metal tip deep into the ice floe. Anya twisted the sword blade, and almost as if in response, the small fissure gaped before her like a hungry maw, eager to feed on whatever stood before it. In this case, it was the speeding truck. Anya watched as more ice broke away into the swirling water of the Mackenzie River. Waves sloshed over the floes as the fissure spread toward the truck. The truck slammed on its brakes, but all that momentum had no place to go except forward. The entire truck slid right into the water, sinking inconceivably fast. In one blink, the truck was on the ice, and in the next, it simply had vanished. Anya stood there, watching as the waves quickly returned to their normal ebb and flow. Already at the edges of the breaks and cracks, the water was freezing back over. She figured in another hour, there'd be nothing to even mark the presence of the truck, save for some skid marks on the ice leading to the massive hole that had eventually claimed it. She took one final look at the water and its darkness. It was almost as if it had its own spirit.
Is that even possible?
Anya released the sword back into the otherware, then turned around to head back toward Derek and Godwin. She hoped Godwin had the tire replaced by now. Derek was standing closer than she expected. He had a smile on his face and didn't seem the least bit embarrassed to be standing so close to her. Anya stopped. Derek said nothing but kept smiling and turned to walk back toward the truck. Anya caught up with him.
You look like you just ate a canary.
Better. I just saw something I would never have believed unless I witnessed it with my own two eyes.
I could offer to pry them out of your head if it helps you forget what you just saw.
I'd hate for that to happen.
I'll bet.
That was something quite impressive.
And yet you don't seem the slightest bit surprised. Why is that?
I thought I already explained to you that our information was good.
You did? I didn't expect that you'd gotten word about my talent.
Is that all you think it is? I'd call it something utterly amazing.
Of course you would. Anyone would. Unless they happen to be burdened with the thing.
How does it work?
I don't even know. I'm still working all of its rather unique functions out. Every time I think I know what it's fully capable of, it has this nagging ability to surprise me.
Well, you just used it to save our lives, so I suppose a hearty thank you is in order.
You're welcome. And you can thank me by not mentioning this to anyone else. And if you have to file a report about me, I'd appreciate you stating that the rumor of its existence is just a silly myth, that you saw nothing out of the ordinary during our entire time together.
Why would you want me to do that?
Because if there's one thing I definitely do not need, it's any publicity. I'd much prefer to just live my life and do what I do without being sentenced to a freak show existence for the remainder of my time on the planet.
I guess I can understand that. I thought you might be one of those people who would want to milk it for everything it had.
Not even remotely.
It's cool. Your secret is safe.
So, who leaked the information to you about it?
I'm not sure, actually. And before you go accusing me of holding out, I am telling the truth. We gathered our data on you from a variety of sources. Some of it was from reliable outlets, background checks, that type of thing.
And others?
From less tangible sources. We combed the internet to compile what we hope is an accurate picture of our subjects. Sometimes the material we turn up is decent, other times it's pretty bogus.
In this case...
we got lucky, all right.
I'd be curious to know where that particular nugget came from. Any chance you keep a record of the websites you come on file somewhere?
Yeah, I can hook you up with the information once we're done up here. Consider it a parting bonus if you want.
Thanks.
Forget it. Call us even for saving our lives.
I will.
They walked back to the truck just as Godwin was putting away the tools. He looked up as they approached.
We're all set to go.
Good.
What happened to the truck?
Detour. I don't think we'll be seeing it again.
Ever.
I'd steer a little bit over to the right if I was you.
Why so?
I'd do as she suggests, Godwin. Trust me.
Godwin nodded and steered the truck over to the side. But even as they passed the location where the truck had gone through the ice, Anya had trouble seeing where it was exactly. The water had already frozen over and showed little sign that there had been a massive hole there previously. Anya shuddered. Whatever the case, whoever had been behind the wheel of that truck, they were no longer a threat to them. That was fine with her. Derek had the map open again. He traced his finger along the ice road and then jabbed at a spot on the map.
We should be pretty close, guys.
The closer the better. Big trucks that want to run us over, cracks in the ice, and this white-on-white landscape. It wears on a person.
I think it's kind of beautiful. Of course, I'm a bit biased.
I thought you hated the cold.
I do. I meant from the inside the warm truck, it looks kind of beautiful. But I'd still rather live in Hawaii any day of the week.
We'll keep that in mind in case we open up a diamond mine in Maui.
Anya smiled, then leaned her head back and closed her eyes. The rush of tension that had plagued them with the giant truck and the ice fisher seemed to have evaporated. They would soon be off the ice road and back onto firm ground. Or frozen ground.
You okay?
Anya snapped her eyes open and glanced at Godwin.
Sorry, must have drifted off there for a moment.
It happens. All this white, snow blindness. Make you a little crazy after a bit.
Yet, you don't seem to be affected by it.
My father made sure I knew how to deal with it.
Did he know?
Sure. Taught me a lot of stuff.
Like how to recognize the assassin's dagger.
Yes, that too.
Interesting.
Is it?
I think so.
No, we all have those aspects of ourselves that seem mysterious to everyone else, but aren't necessarily. We all have our secrets.
Anya glanced back at Derek, but he was still studying the map. She looked back at Godwin, but he was already peering out of the windshield again.
We should be just about there.
Anya followed his gaze. Up ahead, she thought she spotted something red amid all the white.
Is that the sign for the turnoff?
Could be.
Are we there?
That looks like a sign to me. What do you think?
Slow down, Godwin. We don't want to miss the turnoff and keep driving for hours on end. I don't think Anya would appreciate that very much, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
A small piece of plywood tacked to a metal pole jutted out of the snow on the side of the road.
Air up. I guess this is our exit.
Godwin wheeled the truck around and they turned to the right. Anya glanced back at the frozen Mackenzie River and shuddered. She hoped that it really was a thing of the past. The road twisted through the frozen countryside and then broke out onto Hendricks Highway. Godwin smiled and steered the truck onto a paved road for the first time that day. Hendricks Highway was a two-lane road, and even though the asphalt had seen better days, the stretch proved to be a welcome change from both the ice road and the roller coaster ride of the road to Aerop, where Godwin had managed to procure another spare tire. Anya felt good for the first time all day. Getting to the dig site was always the hardest part. She could tolerate a lot of things, but was often impatient when it came to actually reaching the destination. Still, the events of the morning and the run-in with the giant truck didn't make her feel especially good about what might be waiting ahead. The incident in the steakhouse was still fresh in her mind. If people weren't happy with what was going on with the Araktak, there'd be no telling what they would do to keep the company from completing its deal with the tribe. That meant Anya might have to use the sword again. That was something she didn't really want to do.
Sorry, almost missed the turn.
You all right? I can take over driving for a while if you want.
It's no problem, I was just yawning, that's all.
Anya glanced behind her. Derek was already dozing.
Is he a decent guy to work for?
Yeah, he's all right. That's not my dream job, of course, but it gives me the money to save and put away for when I figure out what I really want to do with my life.
How old are you?
28. I know, I ought to have a game plan by now, right?
I wasn't going to say that.
I've heard so much advice from people urging me to find my way and find it fast. Guess I'm just really not in that big a hurry. I know there's something out there for me, but I haven't really felt a pull towards anything. Weird, right?
Well, at least you're working.
It seemed like a good fit. The company, I mean. And I was intrigued with the idea of going home to my birthplace, so to speak, after being away from it for so long.
I'll bet. I'm still trying to figure out where it is that I come from. I can appreciate the sentiment.
A couple of lost lambs, huh?
Something like that.
Anya stared through the windshield. She knew what it felt like not to have that sense of belonging, or some place to call your own.
Oh, God, so much for civilization.
Godwin drove around a tree stump jutting out of the road.
We won't be long on this. The dig site is relatively close.
What's relative?
20 minutes, no more.
Derek was bounced out of his sleep by a sudden dip in the road that caused him to go airborne for a fraction of a second. He sat up and rubbed the top of his head.
Guess we're almost there, huh?
Godwin says 20 minutes, no more.
Did you sleep?
Didn't seem fair to leave Godwin here the only one awake. I know what it's like to drive for a long time with no rest.
Well, you'll need your rest if you're going to impress the Araktak elders with your suitability for the task at hand.
Excuse me?
They have final approval. I guess they're not particularly crazy about letting an outsider help them relocate their sacred lands.
Nice to hear about this now, when it's impossible to turn back.
Wouldn't have done any good to tell you about it before now. The Araktak elders are a notoriously picky bunch. But then, I guess that's been a function of their society for some time now, eh, Godwin?
This is something of a homecoming for me as well.
I thought you mentioned you'd been up here before this, to make way for the company's plans.
Well, I was here, but I dealt with a representative for the Elders. This time they're all gonna be here.
Anya looked out of the window. She wasn't used to having people question her qualifications. The interview with Derek had been the first real one she'd been on in a long time.
Well, I hope they're not too disappointed. How are women treated among the Arakatak?
Probably the way they are in any other tribe of Inuit. I'd be lying if I said I knew for certain.
We're here.
Anya looked out the windshield. The forest suddenly broke away on either side into a clearing. She could see several rough-hewn huts that looked like a combination of log cabin and wigwam. They were large and sturdy, and a great number of pine trees had been felled to make the lodges. Smoke issued from small chimneys at each corner. At least it looks warm inside, Anya thought. Godwin brought the SUV to a halt, and then looked at Anya.
Still trying to figure this out for myself as I go. You aren't alone.
Derek slid out of the truck and walked over to an older man with a weather-beaten face. Anya could see 100 years worth of hard living etched across the narrow slits of his eyes. He nodded to Derek and then took him aside.
He seems comfortable enough.
That's our main contact. His name is Wishman.
Is he cool?
We'll find out.
Godwin nodded for Anya to follow him over to the old man. Anya walked behind Godwin and waited until Godwin had introduced her to Wishman.
It's an honor to meet you.
Wishman's eyes probed hers, and he said nothing for a long moment. He clasped her hand and then seemed to stare directly into her soul. His dark orbs looked like perfect black marbles of onyx. Finally, he broke contact and pulled back. He turned to Derek and Godwin.
We will talk of this woman in the lodge. The others are waiting.
He turned and walked toward the largest of the buildings. Godwin and Derek followed him. Anya started to walk with them, but Wishman stopped and turned back to Anya.
You must stay here until you are called.
Shouldn't take too long.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
She watched them go, and then the sudden realization that she was all alone washed over her. Anya suspected the camp was there to make sure that nothing in these lands would be left behind. Perhaps the Arakatak had once used this area for something other than burying people. If so, there would be relics that would need to be cared for and transported to a new place. Otherwise, the company would destroy them. Anya took a stroll around the camp. It was utilitarian and nothing more. She saw the latrine and the firewood pile. Each shelter seemed to have its own cooking fire inside where meals would be prepared. Apart from that, she spotted several long axes for chopping wood and little else. The forest stretched before her, and Anya decided a little exercise might be a good thing. She felt a pull toward a certain section and ducked under the frozen pine boughs. A bit of snow fell on her head as she walked. She crested a small hill, and the trees broke apart into another clearing that sloped down and away from her for some distance.
This must be the place.
Already she could feel the tug of something almost otherworldly. The unbroken snowfield before her looked like one continuous blanket of white.
Beautiful.
Anya turned slowly to see a massive polar bear rearing back to stand up to its full height. It was only 10 feet away from her. It didn't look happy. Anya stood motionless as the giant polar bear swayed slightly on its haunches. She could see the sharp teeth in its mouth, and the claws of its front legs loomed large in her vision. She should have known better than to wander around so carelessly. Anya stared at the polar bear, willing herself to look right into its eyes. She'd never seen a creature like this up close before. Not having some type of fence between them made Anya's stomach twist into knots.
What's he doing this far inland?
The bear closed its mouth. Anya wondered if she would need her sword. She could draw it in an instant, but the last thing she wanted to do was kill the bear. Even worse, if the Arakatak considered polar bears as sacred animals, she could be committing a grave cultural faux pas. They'd chuck her out of the dig site, and all of this would have been for nothing. The polar bear came down off its haunches. Anya relaxed further, but kept absolutely still. The bear could easily kill her if she wasn't careful. This close, she could smell the bear. It wasn't a good smell by any means, and it reminded Anya of a wet dog. She wrinkled her nose and tried to breathe less. The polar bear looked up at her again, and then sat back, regarding her for some time.
Nice bear.
The bear cocked its head to one side. The bear pawed at the ground in front of Anya, and she looked down. In the snow, the bear's claw had drawn back the blanket of white to reveal the hard dirt underneath. But Anya saw something else.
Blood?
The bear pawed at the ground with its claw again, and Anya saw a fresh streak near the snow. The bear was injured. Anya knelt down until her head was level with the dirty white creature.
You've got something in your paw, don't you?
Carefully, Anya reached out with one hand and then the other until she cradled its paw in her hands. Very slowly, she turned it over and then saw the wound. A piece of metal poked out of the bear's paw, embedded in the soft, padded, fleshy part. Anya grimaced. It looked like part of a steel arrowhead.
Oh, no wonder you're upset.
She bent closer to examine the wound. She could see that there wasn't any sign of infection yet, so it must have only happened recently.
Sorry.
The piece of metal looked small, but she could see just enough poking out of the surface of the skin that would give her something to pinch and yank out. She looked up at the bear.
This might hurt. You sure you want me to help you with this?
Anya reached into the wound and felt the bear jerk a little as the pain hit. She gritted her teeth, pinched at the exposed metal, and then, as smoothly as possible, pulled the metal free of the bear's claw. She fell back in the snow as the bear rolled over onto its back. Anya got to her feet as the bear got up and walked over some of the untouched snow.
Feels better, doesn't it?
The polar bear stalked around for a few more minutes, doing what looked to Anya like an attempt to wash the wound the best way it knew how. It was using the snow and its body heat to get water into the cut skin. After a few minutes, Anya found a log and sat down on it. The piece of metal in her hand really did look like part of an arrowhead. It had the appearance of one of the fancy steel-tip hunting arrows that sporting goods shops sold all over the world for bow hunters.
Who would shoot a polar bear in the paw?
The bear wandered over to Anya and sat down next to her, its huge bulk rippling as it did so.
So now we're best friends, is that it?
The bear nuzzled Anya's arm.
When was the last time you had a bath? Don't take this the wrong way, but you stink.
The bear's head suddenly turned back toward the direction Anya had come from originally.
Anya?
Calm down, he's okay.
Derek, Wishman, and Godwin, along with several other men Anya didn't know, broke through to the clearing, and all of them stopped instantly. Their sudden appearance made the polar bear get to its feet stiffly. Anya held up her hand to stop the group of men.
Don't come any closer or he'll get angry.
You're all right?
I'm fine.
Anya saw something like a smile play across Godwin's face. Behind him, one of the younger men raised a hunting rifle and was sighting down the barrel. Wishman saw him and immediately raised his hand.
No!
With a look of disbelief, the younger man lowered his rifle. Wishman came forward slightly. He looked at Anya and then at the bear. The bear regarded him but didn't growl this time.
How did this happen?
I went for a walk. I found my way here and the bear surprised me. He was wounded. This was in his paw.
She held out her hand and showed the metal arrowhead fragment to Wishman. He frowned and then stepped back. He spoke to the bear and said several things that Anya didn't understand. The bear, however, seemed to, and took one last look at Anya, and then lumbered off, leaving only its tracks in its wake.
Bye. Why'd you make him go?
He didn't need to stay any longer.
Wishman turned to face the group.
You have all seen what has happened here, with your own eyes.
The men nodded their agreement. Wishman pointed back at Anya.
The great god Chunak has shown himself to the woman, and she has been approved by his presence. She has shown her depth of spirit by caring for the wounded animal, and so she has earned the respect of Chunak. And she has earned my respect as well.
Wishman turned back to the group and spread his arms.
This woman, this friend of Bear, shall be welcomed in our camp. She will help us do what must be done to preserve our legacy and sacred traditions. Chunak has sent her to us, and we will honor his choice by respecting her.
The men nodded, some of them less so than others, but Anya could see they were all impressed. Derek and Godwin came forward. Derek helped Anya to her feet.
How did you do that?
I don't know. I just did it.
Incredible. Simply incredible.
You certainly gave them something to talk about over the fire tonight.
How'd the meeting go?
There was a lot of outrage that a woman was coming into their camp. This is something the men consider to be sacred to them only. Mr. Wainman argued your case, but in the end, it didn't look like it was going to work.
And you were coming here to tell me it was off?
Yeah, we were going to turn around and head for home, only to find you playing Androcles and the polar bear. Pretty damned impressive. If I didn't know you better, I'd say you might have staged the entire thing.
Oh, yeah, I routinely get chummy with the larger predators. You should see my trick with great white sharks. That always leaves them wanting more.
Well, the most important thing is they've accepted you. Wishman says you've been chosen by Chunak, who is their most important god, so that's pretty much law now.
So I'm good to go?
In spades.
Excellent. Does this mean I'll have one of those shelters all to myself, you know, being divinely chosen and all?
Probably not. But I can put in a good word for you about letting you share the communal spittoon.
Well, that makes it all worthwhile. So, what happens now?
There'll be a feast tonight in your honor. I believe you made quite an impression on them. Far better than the impression I made.
Oh?
Some of them are quite upset that there's a half-breed in their presence.
You had nothing to do with your father's decision to leave.
Doesn't matter. My mere presence serves to remind them of the clash between the old ways and the new. In a lot of ways, it mirrors the situation with the company.
Derek clapped him on the back.
Relax, pal. As long as it works out in our favor, I think you'll be fine too.
Anya followed them back to the lodges. The fire in the main lodge made the entire place almost too hot. The birch and pine logs amid the orange and yellow flames sent a trail of smoke circling skyward out of the chimney hole. Anya huddled near the fire, warming herself. She hadn't realized how cold she'd been during her run-in with the polar bear. It was almost as if she'd forgotten about the temperature while she was with the creature. Wishman sat nearby, watching her closely. She glanced up at him and smiled, but his eyes never blinked.
You realize that's a little bit unsettling when you do that.
I am trying to understand you, friend of Bear.
You can call me Anya if it makes it easier.
Chunak brought you to us and to the bear for a reason. It would be disrespectful for me to call you by another name.
I guess I understand.
Godwin came and sat down nearby, nudging Anya.
Is he bothering you?
Only when he stares at me, which seems to be all the time. What's his deal? He said he was trying to understand me.
It's his role within the tribe. And he's kind of like the shaman or medicine man, if you want to put it into Native American terms.
And he does, what, set the law down or something?
Well, they don't really have laws, per se. They have three ideas that they use as their basis for the system of government, such as it is.
Like what?
Godwin scratched a few symbols in the dirt floor.
Maligate means things to follow or what must be followed.
Which I assume means you already have a basic understanding of what that would refer to.
Godwin kept writing in the dirt.
Sure. Then there's Picajate, those things that must be done or things to do.
And the third?
Tiragusa Usit, things that are not done.
Interesting. And what happens if someone decides they don't want to abide by these ideals?
Well, then people like Wishman are called in to mediate the dispute and try to get the offending party to see the error of their ways.
Otherwise?
Well, there would probably be some sort of punishment. These days, maybe they'd even banish the offender. Just kick him out of the tribe.
Does that happen often?
Only once, as far as I know. When they kicked my father out.
I thought you said he left.
Yeah, that's what he told me as a child. I guess he didn't want his son to be embarrassed by his actions. When I grew older, I had a feeling that he wouldn't have left if they hadn't objected to him marrying outside the tribe.
Did Wishman intervene?
I don't know. Possibly. But marriage is a weird thing in Inuit culture. There's a lot of polygamy, and even open relationships. Hell, even divorce isn't unheard of. Of course, this is all in relation to older times. Nowadays, most Inuits do as they see fit. Only the Aractak have really kept a firm hold on their people.
So, if marriage is so fluid an arrangement, then why did your father pay such a steep price for what he did?
He went outside the tribe. Most marriages are arranged, and he was supposed to marry the daughter of one of the tribe elders. But it didn't work out that way.
Anya stared into the smoke of the fire, feeling herself grow drowsy.
Tell me about it.
When a man in the Aractak comes of age and has absorbed all the teachings, he's supposed to go out on his own and find himself. Sort of a spiritual journey. They go into the wilds and explore and commune with the spirits. So my father went on his journey. He traveled for miles across the ice floes, stopping only to hunt for enough food for himself. But one day, his journey was interrupted by a noise he hadn't heard before. Before long, he tracked the source to a plane that had crashed in the Delta.
An airliner?
No, just a single-engine plane. Anyway, there was only one survivor. A woman.
Your mother.
My father couldn't move her because she had a broken leg and was in a lot of pain, so instead, he built a shelter for them both and then splinted her leg.
Backwoods medicine.
Yeah, it was, according to my mother, incredibly painful. But my father did what he had to make sure she lived. And while she recovered, he set about keeping him fed with all the skills he'd learned from his tribe.
And obviously they made it.
My mother was a fast healer. But even still, they had to weather the winter in the Arctic Circle. If my father hadn't found her when he did, she would have died. As it was, they nearly died that winter anyway. But they survived, and as a result of their struggle together, they fell in love.
I love a happy ending.
Well, this one doesn't have one. Because when my father returned to the tribe with the news of all he had endured, he did not receive the welcome he'd expected. And my mother was never accepted.
They kicked him out right then?
What probably happened was they called a council of elders together to listen and try to explain to my father that he was wrong. He would have been a valuable asset to them with the skills he'd learned and honed during the winter of survival. They wouldn't want to lose him. But in the end, the tribe had little choice but to banish him forever.
That's an incredible story.
Huh. Welcome to my world. As I said, we moved south and I went to a public school and had a pretty normal upbringing. Except that all the time I felt like something's been missing. Some part of myself I never really knew.
Your family.
Yeah.
Anya glanced at Wishman, but the old man was turned and talking in low tones to another elder of the tribe. She looked back at Godwin.
Do they know who you are?
Oh, yeah. First time I came up here, they knew. It's funny, isn't it? You go through life thinking about things in a fairly logical way, science and all that. And then you see something, or something happens that makes you question it all.
Like them knowing about you?
Or wild polar bears making friends with you. Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Wishman nudged her.
Why do you talk to the outcast?
Because he's my friend.
He is the son of one who betrayed us. He cannot be trusted.
While I respect your traditions and culture, this is one thing I will not agree with you on. Godwin is not his father and should not be judged as such. It's not fair.
The son has spoken to you of our belief in Turagusa Usut, yes?
He has.
Then you should know that what his father did falls under that law. He chose to forsake our traditions for the white woman. And we could not convince him to see the error of his ways.
It's love. Who can make matters of the heart follow some unspoken rule like that?
We can. Or else, the option is always there for the offender to leave the tribe.
But you kicked him out.
Yes, so he would not pollute the others with his twisted ways of doing things.
I wouldn't call it twisted.
That is because you are not yet a Rakhtak, friend of Bear.
Yet?
Shunok has chosen you for a special purpose. To help us preserve our ways.
So
his wishes must be abided by, or else we risk his wrath. And we will not risk the anger of the gods.
What does that mean? That you'll make me a member of the Arakhtak?
You are not born into the tribe, so you can never fully be Arakhtak. But we will make you the closest thing we have to it.
Does this entail me doing anything unusual?
One would say that helping a wounded polar bear, a creature that could have easily killed you, is unusual enough. Do you agree?
Well, yeah.
So tonight we will have a feast in your honor, and we will ask the gods to accept you as one of us. If they agree, then the ceremony will end, and we will do what you are here to help us do.
Anya glanced at the scrawled symbols in the dirt.
What happens if the gods don't accept me?
That has never happened before.
That's not what I ask you.
Wishman took his hand from his pocket and scattered bits of bone in the dirt at his feet. He bent lower and studied what looked to be ancient symbols carved in them. Anya watched him trace his finger along the symbols. He picked up the bones again and threw them back into the dirt.
So what do they say?
Wishman held up his hand for another moment and picked up the bones a third time and threw them back down.
Wishman?
Friend of Bear, you must learn patience.
Yeah, well, that's never really been my strong suit.
Wishman scooped the bones into his hand and stored them back in the pocket of his coat. He looked at Anya.
Shunok chose you for a reason.
Okay.
Everything is as it should be.
Yeah, but what if it wasn't?
Wishman shrugged and stood.
Then, maybe we would see if the polar bear comes back to kill you.
And then he walked away, leaving Anya to ponder his words. The feast started promptly at sundown. Godwin had explained that while usually women would cook and take care of the shelters, the men of the Arakhtak tribe were also expected to be able to cook for themselves during times when they were away. As a result, the Arakhtak men, particularly the elders, put on a tremendous spread. Before anyone could eat, Wishman came out before the improvised log tables and seats and lifted his hands overhead.
My friends, we hold this feast to honor the presence of the one Shunok has chosen. He came to us in the guise of the mighty polar bear. And this woman befriended him, cared for him, and sent him on his way. She showed neither fear nor hesitation, and above all, the depth of her spirit. For that we must be thankful that Shunok has sent us one as strong as she.
There was a great deal of nodding, and Anya felt as if she was slipping back in time. If it hadn't been for the flannel shirts and jeans on the men, she might have believed this scene was taking place 1,000 years before this night.
Friend of Bear, we offer you what we have in the token of friendship of the Arakhtak. We hope you will use your strength to help us through the times that are coming soon.
Anya bowed her head and then looked back at him.
I am honored by your gesture of kindness.
Let us feast and give thanks to Shunok. That friend of Bear is among us.
Yes! Wishman gestured to the long table of food.
Please, you are our honored guest, and you must start the feast. Help yourself to whatever you wish.
I'm not sure what you've cooked for me.
Wishman took her by the hand and pointed out the walrus meat, the caribou, and even some whale blubber. Anya reminded herself that the Inuit were exempt from the international moratorium on whaling. Anya helped herself to some of the walrus and caribou and then sat down. Wishman offered her a cup of something warm and strong. Anya drank it and marveled at how fast the obviously alcoholic drink hit her system. She felt entirely relaxed, and when she tasted the meat, it only seemed to enhance the drink's effects.
This is delicious.
Godwin sat next to her.
The Inuit have a high-fat diet with very little in the way of carbohydrates. Surprisingly, it doesn't seem to have any adverse effect on their health.
They burn off all the calories just keeping warm.
Godwin glanced at Derek, who was sitting apart from them.
Is he okay?
I don't know. I was just wondering that myself. He seems to be thinking about something pretty hard.
Mr. Wainman?
Derek looked up and came over.
Hey.
You okay? Looks like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Nah, just some minor complications. Nothing too important.
Really?
Well, maybe.
Anya bit into another piece of caribou and chewed slowly.
Have something to drink. It will help calm you down.
Godwin fetched him a mug of the liquor.
Careful. That will make you breathe fire.
Why didn't you warn me about that?
You are friend of Bear. Liquor should not be a challenge for one such as yourself.
Derek took another sip and set the mug down.
Wow, that stuff's insane. Any idea what it is?
Don't ask. Just enjoy it.
That sounds ominous. And just when I was starting to like this feast.
Derek went back to eating, and Anya eyed him.
What gives?
I got a text message from the company.
You got reception all the way out here? That's impressive.
Satellite technology.
So what did the message say?
Derek waved his hand.
They've expedited things slightly.
Why?
The board wants to get started drilling faster than a month from now. They claim they need the extra time to produce a better return on the investment.
You're gonna have to tell them soon. If you hold off, they might get upset.
They're gonna be upset no matter what.
Thanks for telling me that, Godwin.
Sorry, Mr. Wainman.
Forget it. I didn't mean to snap at you. It's just that we came into this planning one way, and now the arrangements have been changed on me. And I have to figure out how to tell them so they don't feel like they're being screwed over.
Why is that?
Because the company is sending a half dozen miners up here to begin exploratory coring.
What? When?
They'll be here tomorrow.
Anya and Godwin stared at him.
Well, that changes things rather dramatically.
Doesn't the company board realize what a precarious situation this places us in? What's to stop these guys from just throwing us out of here?
A signed deal. And the fact that the Arak-Tak have already accepted the company's money. We own this land now, not them. We're only giving them this respect as part of the deal.
If they don't like it, though, can't they claim you violated the terms of the agreement and refused to cooperate?
They could. But the question is, would they? If they roadblock us, we can have the RCMP up here in a flash. The company has a lot of power, and the Canadian government wouldn't be keen to see something stop an operation that could be worth billions.
This is not going to go over well. I don't know if I should be sitting next to you.
What? You don't want to help me?
Buddy, I think you're going to have to be on your own for this one.
Godwin, you'll get my back if it comes to that.
It won't. They might be plenty pissed off at you, but they're not going to stick a knife in you, much as they might want to. This isn't the old days.
I wish that made me feel better, but it doesn't.
Wishman came over and knelt in front of Anya.
How does Friend of Bear find the meal?
It's fantastic, and the drink is something else.
Wishman offered her another mug of the strange liquor.
This will make it easier for you to rest tonight, so that we may have a productive day tomorrow.
Anya glanced at Derek, but he looked away.
Thank you. I feel pretty relaxed already.
Finish your food, so you will have the strength to deal with the cold.
I will. Thank you.
Wishman didn't look at Godwin, but glanced at Derek.
What troubles him so much?
Bad news.
Anya!
It's like a bandage. Better to just rip it off quick. It might hurt for a moment, but then the pain is gone.
You hope.
What bad news do you have to share with us?
It's nothing.
Friend of Bear says you have bad news. Friend of Bear would not lie.
Derek stood and put his plate down. He strode out to the middle of the lodge.
I would first like to thank the Arak-Tak for hosting us here in this incredible land. You have our most sincere gratitude for honoring us with this feast and this fantastic meal. The drink is also quite potent. I have been informed by my company that they will need things to move a little faster than we had originally allowed for.
The company told us they would give us 1 month.
Yes, I realized that was what they told you. I was told this as well. And it is this timetable that I conveyed to Anya, friend of Bear, as you call her. It was with this timetable that she agreed to help the Arak'tak.
But?
That has changed. The company is sending the first miners to this place tomorrow. They will not start drilling right away, of course.
How long will we have?
Perhaps a few days. Perhaps a week.
By the next morning, things had quieted down to an unsettled murmur. Anya came out of the shelter that she shared with Godwin and Derek to find the camp bustling with Arak'tak men. Some of them were chopping wood for the fires, while others had unloaded an array of shovels and picks from the backs of trucks that Anya hadn't even noticed the previous day. Derek's news of the accelerated schedule had not gone over well, but it was Wishman who finally restored order by reminding them all that they had signed an agreement with the company. It just meant they had to do their work faster. Anya wandered over to the main lodge and got some breakfast before stepping back outside. She finished a cup of coffee and saw Godwin coming back through the trees. He'd obviously been out for a walk.
Good morning.
This really is beautiful country. I can see why the Arak'tak would claim it as their own.
Sure, but it's part of your land as well.
Yeah, good luck making that argument with the Council of Elders. My attempts to talk to Wishman have so far met with dismal failure.
You can't blame him. What with Derek's bombshell last night, they're not necessarily in the right frame of mind to discuss internal politics. And I sensed that Wishman is one of the few holding the Arak'tak together.
Meaning what?
Well, you mentioned factions before, right? I think you're on the mark there. When Derek unloaded last night, there was some definite dissension in the ranks. Only Wishman was able to keep things from spiraling out of control.
Pretty good for a crusty old guy.
Who is a crusty old guy?
They turned and saw Wishman standing there, his eyes crinkled into something like a playful grin.
Did you have a restful sleep, friend of Bear?
Very much so.
Good morning, Wishman.
Wishman regarded Godwin for a moment and then turned back to Anya.
Are you ready to begin?
The sooner the better.
Wishman gestured to an Arak'tak man standing nearby.
This is Nyaktuk. He will be your guide to our burial area. Once you start, he will be in charge of making sure the items uncovered are handled in a respectful manner.
Nice to meet you.
Nyaktuk nodded and then eyed Godwin suspiciously.
Does he need to come along with us?
Godwin is indispensable to this dig.
Is that so?
Yes, it is so. You don't want to hamper me, do you? Wouldn't that be the same as suggesting that your god, Chunuk, has chosen incorrectly?
The half-breed may accompany you.
I feel like a mutant.
You are a mutant. Follow me.
They ducked through the pine trees and covered the ground that Anya had walked right before she met up with the polar bear. Nyaktuk led them up a slight rise in the landscape and then stopped.
Here.
What is here?
We're standing on the burial mound.
I don't see an opening.
It hasn't been used in almost 100 years. The top was covered with dirt.
Godwin squatted in the deep snow.
It'll take us hours to dig through this, and then we'll have to crack the frozen dirt covering the mound.
We'll clear the snow quickly. Then we only need to dig 6 inches down to find the door that leads to the chamber.
You're sure it's still structurally sound? 100 years under the ground with melting snow and all could easily rot a wooden door.
The door is made from whalebone. It will take centuries for it to decompose.
Let's get started, then.
Anya and Godwin headed back to their SUV.
I wasn't aware we'd have to dig into the ground.
Does it make a difference?
Well, yeah. Ideally, I'd like to have a ground-sensing radar or sonar that we can use to get a more complete look at what we'll be dealing with under the surface.
Godwin unhitched the tailgate and hauled out a large yellow box.
You mean something like this?
Get out!
I was told to make sure you had all the necessary tools at your disposal.
Oh, yeah, but this...
I try to plan for everything.
I'm glad you do.
Anya grabbed a shovel while Godwin hefted the radar unit, and they moved back to the burial mound. As they approached, Anya saw Nyaktuk giving the radar unit a baleful look.
What is that?
Ground radar unit. It will help us see what's beneath the ground before we dig into it.
Why would you need such a thing?
So we don't end up destroying something precious with the shovels. This way we can see what's down there and make sure we don't dig into a relic. Just the dirt.
Nyaktuk looked unsure of whether the radar would somehow violate the degree of sanctity that surrounded the area, but after a moment of introspection, he nodded.
It is a good idea.
Show me where the entrance to the burial mound should be.
Nyaktuk took his place on top of the hill and measured off with an aged old pine nearby. He paced back and forth a few times, then planted himself at what looked like the exact crest of the hill.
Here.
Anya nodded and pulled the unit over to the top of the hill.
Can we set this up right here to give us a reading?
Sure. Give me a second and I'll get it going.
She watched Godwin unbundle the unit and set the probes out. The spikes would shoot impulses into the earth and register the return echoes by displaying them on a small screen of the unit. They should be able to see a good picture of what lay below the surface of the burial mound.
It's really handy you thought to bring this along.
I did some research on archaeological digs. It seemed like it might just be a good idea.
Remind me to mention this to Derek. It's always nice to make sure the boss knows you've done good.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Anya hefted the shovel. It had a nice sharp edge to the steel blade, and she started clearing off the snow in a 12-foot diameter from the top of the hill. The packed snow was tough to move. Nyaktuk disappeared and returned a few minutes later with several other men. Anya saw they were armed with shovels as well, and they all started clearing off the top of the hill. Within a few short minutes, they had already reached down to the frozen earth. Anya looked at the clearing and saw the brown grass and lichens that covered the ground. Somewhere, below the hill, were the bodies and bones of countless members of the Arakatak. It was something new for Anya. She'd never taken part in a burial mound relocation before, and she wasn't quite sure what to expect. But as she watched Nyaktuk and the others finish clearing the area, she knew that this was something incredibly important to them, and she appreciated the zeal. Godwin finished firing up the ground radar.
We can start using it now.
Anya helped him move the unit over to the precise location that Nyaktuk had pointed out.
Let's get the probes into the ground here and there, and then two more over in that direction so we have a four-point picture of the place.
Godwin drilled holes and then planted the probes so they jutted out of the ground with their points embedded in the frozen earth. Then he resumed his position behind the unit.
Ready.
Go ahead.
Godwin frowned at the screen.
Something wrong?
I can see the entry door to the mound, but that's it. The radar won't penetrate beyond it for some reason.
That's weird. This ever happened before?
This is the first time I've ever used one of these things.
How'd you know how to operate it, then?
I read the instruction manual last night before I fell asleep. Sorry.
Nyaktuk nodded and instructed his men to dig carefully. They moved into position and started easing up shovelfuls of dirt, pried loose from the frozen earth. Gradually, they worked through the permafrost. The color of the soil looked very rich, and Anya supposed that the presence of the decomposing bodies in the area would have naturally added nutrients to the soil. It seemed coldly scientific to put it that way, but everything broke down.
This is the door. It's still intact.
Can we pry it up?
Yes.
He used his shovel to pry open the door, and then he lifted the entire piece out of the hole. Anya smelled a bitter scent on the air, and had to remind herself that this was a cemetery, and that all sorts of things would have decomposed underneath. The air trapped in place by the door would still contain traces of the smells of death. Nyaktuk nodded to Anya.
You wish to look in there?
Not just yet. Let's use the radar to make sure we don't accidentally break something.
Anya motioned for Godwin to reposition the ground probes, and he did so.
Ready.
Do it.
Wow.
What now?
It's deep. Really deep. And wide.
Anya looked at the display.
Amazing. Nyaktuk, how deep would these mounds typically be?
Not too deep. Why?
Because this shaft seems to go straight down. And it keeps going.
Nyaktuk came over to look at the display.
How deep does it go?
Well, that's just it. It doesn't seem to end. It keeps going.
How far?
I don't know. Maybe all the way through the mantle.
You're joking, right? There's no way it could go on that far.
I remember Derek telling me something the other day about kimberlite pipes. That's where the company expects to find its diamonds, right?
Yeah, so what?
Well, if this burial mound is built on kimberlite pipes, then they might well run down straight into the Earth's core.
It seemed almost like something out of a Jules Verne novel. It was too fantastic. And yet the possibility was staring her right in the face.
So where are the burial areas, then? They wouldn't have just tossed bodies into the hole, would they?
Each body would have its own resting place, according to tradition and their place within the tribe.
So you mean the elders would have held a higher place of esteem than a hunter?
But only just. Hunters were obviously a highly valued member of the tribe. More likely, women and children and the elderly would have been buried in a less respectful position than the others.
Anya once again studied the ground radar display.
I don't see any bodies to speak of.
I'd be amazed if you could pick out an actual body on that thing. They've had a lot of time to settle and get moved around as the landscape has shifted.
Good point. But I still thought to be able to see something on this screen. Instead, I see a whole bunch of branches.
Branches?
Anya pointed as Godwin came over.
See? There's the main shaft going down at what looks to be about a 30-degree slope. But then there are whole branches sprouting off like a tree that's been turned upside down.
Which means what?
It means we've got a pretty interesting dig site in front of us. It's a burial mound, to be sure, but the shaft's depth and these branches indicate something else entirely.
You think the Arachtek built the burial mound on top of something else that was already here?
It's possible. Likely, even. But what could it be? And why would they have done something like that? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
We're wasting time. We should be excavating and helping move the deceased to our storage vehicle.
You have a storage vehicle?
We weren't sure what condition the bodies would be in, so we arranged to have a truck ready to transport the bones to the new site.
Is the new site close by?
It's 50 miles to the east. It's actually closer to where we are concentrated now. In some ways, this will be helpful to us.
But you don't seem too thrilled with this process in general.
I am helping you because Wishman decrees it. He carries a great deal of respect within the tribe.
Even if you happen to not agree with his decisions?
It's not for me to judge his actions. He is many years my senior in this tribe and has seen many more things than I will likely ever see during my entire lifetime. I follow his commands.
All right, then. If there's nothing else, I suppose he's right. We should get started.
I'd like to show this to Derek. He might have some ideas about the unique construction of this area.
Good idea. I'll stay here with Nyaktuk and get started on the first tombs. Maybe you can go chase him down and bring him back. I think he's still pretty upset about having to tell the bad news last night.
All right. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Nyaktuk gestured, and a half dozen men came out of the forest, each bearing a long wooden box. Anya watched them file over to the opening of the burial mound. New coffins, she supposed, for the bones of those long since dead.